This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
This is Monday night, and it's Muse Day. So here's a poem to the Muse. Brand new. To the Muse. You're late today, meandering among the summer fields. Plunk that little Made in Austria Irish harp. Roll your blue eyes and twiddle your pale braids. Reminiscence of Lillian Gish, Evelyn Thaw, ladies you never heard of, immortal fair. But here you are, yawning, bored with me. I don't believe you're thinking of anything. Yet your fingers are grubby, cigarettes, pills. You sing in a high voice, a few lines, indistinctly, not caring, not even amusing yourself. I wonder, she says, oh, never mind. Smiles at my confusion, my hopeful sudden looking up. Leaf and branch twist and wave in the breeze. This pen swings over the page, an equal meaning, neither one intelligible. I wait for breakfast to drop out of the sky. Foghorns, clusters of church bells, pale sun, butter, traffic, airplane, marmalade, salt and pepper, avocado branch squeak. I drink last night's cold tea. And there's a row of asterisks at this point. Little black dots, these represent bees among the leaves and flowers. I look at the window frame. I learn this. I've deceived myself. And the second part. Here you are now, quite unexpectedly, like the death of Proust. Ford says the taxi driver told him, bien attendu. Walk up and down the room, pick things up and put them back wrong. I've got no letters, nobody called up. I can see you want me to entertain you with pretty speeches, like the king said, scribble, 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 eh, Mr. Gibbon? As long as you were coming around here, you might have brought a fairly big basket full of chow, but then you couldn't have carried it yourself. The taxi man might bring it. If you can't say anything nice, shut your mouth. I'm skipping around in here to find stuff, as I say, that's unwritten and unpublished. O moon, gradually, Milo of Croton, lifting all the seas indifferently, leaf shadows and bright reflections simultaneously. This is a short prose poem called Dream and Excursus, Arlington, Massachusetts, 14th of October, 1960. This is an actual dream. I see Mrs. Garrett opening the glass doors of the tomb, doors of the wood and glass pavilion that's built over it, four glass lighted passageways, the windows on three sides framed and can move up and down as in a regular house. Mansard roof, wrought iron ornaments on top, and weather vane. Small wooden sign to the right of the tall doors said, quietly and peacefully at home, Madeline Summerfield Rathburn. Like a doll's house with gingerbread decorations, small panes of colored glass surround the window in the center of each door. Flowers grow in beds on three sides and on each side of walk leading to the entrance door. This is probably an early 1870s tomb, rather eccentric for Cambridge Cemetery, or was it a fashion that lasted for several seasons? A wooden replica of the old home place, built over the family vault or plot to protect the marble, granite, concrete, curbs, whatever, from the vast Cambridge weather. An investment and a burden to the heirs who must spend something each year on the house, paint job, new shingles, mend the walk, etc. Family quarrel, flowers or shrubbery for the landscaping, and if shrubs, what kind, and if hardy perennials, flowers, would snapdragons be facetious in a cemetery? Cousin Lawrence infuriated everyone by causing the ornamental ironwork on the roof to be brilliantly gilded. Cousin Maud assessed each member of the family 17 cents to pay for the immediate application of black enamel paint to restore the tomb's propriety and hush the scandal. A secret sympathizer of Cousin Lawrence paid his 17 cents, waited until the black paint was thoroughly dry, and in broad daylight had his chauffeur drive him to the cemetery, the car packed with ladders, painting costume, a small tent into which he retired to change from street clothes to painting dress, and with his own hand painted the ironwork a beautiful Kelly green, the chauffeur steadying the ladder and helping wipe the green paint off his person after the job was done, the street clothes restored, the tent removed, and drove to town where the chauffeur sent Cousin Lawrence a telegram in the name of the cemetery corporation complaining about the green paint. Oh, here's a short prose whoopee. A call from, a pull in some direction, Excelsior, echoes of the future I will presently look back upon, whether with pleasure or chagrin, there is no adumbration. The noise is an excitement of some kind. I must seize upon the present moment, the controls, wheels, levers, buttons, dials, and arrange them in such an order that the future event will bring me something valuable, pleasing, rare. With great annoyance, I realize that I'm further than ever from the wheelhouse, the control board. How shall I reach it in time to prevent the boiler explosion, the collision with icebergs and hay wagons, then skip immediately from there to the spotlighted stage to receive the medal, the honorary degree, the $100 million prize? One of my favorite songs is Stormy Weather. I said to myself, why are you angry? Why are you afraid? Try to like something. Look at that flowering weed or bushlet, that bug, that dirt, and select, choose one, and like it, love. As I walked further, I grew happier and less nervous. Although I am an atheist, I pray all the time. Silk, lumber, sawdust, wood, pulp, pitch, turpentine, rayon, paper, syrup, rubber, kapok, chewing gum, frankincense, myrrh, fruit, and nut. Acorn, almond, avocado, apricot, apple, bay, beech, chestnut, crab, cherry, chinkapin, date, fig, filbert, haw, hazel, kumquat, lemon, medlar, nectarine, orange, lime, mango, peach, pear, plum, pomegranate, prune, persimmon, quince, tangerine, walnut, mulberry, grapefruit, allspice, clove, cinnamon, nutmeg, mace, lychee, loquat, coffee, cherimoya, pepper, coconut, quinine, cabbage, heart, pawpaw, papaya, breadfruit, guava, olive, sassafras, tea, root beer, birch beer, cascara, palm wine, amber, oil of eucalyptus, gutta percha, gum, arabic, mimosa, jasmine, lime flower, tea. I walk on hills of jewels and gold, a foolish, wicked man. Does anybody have any fresh air they could pipe in here? Okay. What I want, green, grass under leaf, tree, and vine, sunshine all around, dark and muddy ground, wants I, air, no boundaries, put a hole in your skull bone, open up the sky, an equal vacancy. That is, a partition with a hole in it, such as might be installed in an empty cigar box. Partitioned, the space in the box has two parts as long as the lid is open, but shut the lid, and where's your eyes? Mallow and marshy ground, the water hyacinth is found, caltrops sliced with dinner meat. Aye? A change in personnel, of personnel, different people. One what? One never know, do one. A change of people isn't the same as people changing. What a shame. How different. How different upon the mountain are the feet, strophe and stanza. Will you settle for good? Handsome is as handsome does. Try to do right. Be a real man for a change. No matter how presented. It is yesterday's cornflakes. It is hogwash. It is without sense or understanding. It is not, alas, beyond reason or comprehension from the outside. But once you're in, then where are you? Right here at home. The sewer has broken again. Dirty water, feces, assorted garbage, and mephitic vapors are swerging about underneath the living room a few inches beneath my feet. Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison. You can imagine my horror and chagrin as it were to say, well, I'll be dipped. Early autumn in Upper Noe Valley. Bang, bang, ang. St. Philip Martyr Angelus, 6 p.m. or Vespers. But that's all Huguenot propaganda. Vexilla Regis Prodeunt. That's the real old-time down-home hogmaw and chitterlings funk. Mr. Wagnall hasn't got a look in. Positively no. Positively no. This means you. I think Moon Mullins is terribly vulgar. I stand corrected. 7 October 1961, 8 October Sunday, or less specifically, tomorrow is Krishna's birthday. San Francisco is a real sweet little guy. San Francisco, 7 October 1961, Saturday at evening. St. Francis of Assisi, St. Francis Xavier, St. Francis de Sales, and there's a parallel line. Why not? Another parallel. Okay. Another parallel in a little square box with an X in it that says, a vote for good taste. Then, on the other side, there is real San Francisco Sunday afternoon. I envy my neighbors their incredible skill. Each can sit on a single roller skate and coast downhill, whooping, even the fat ones. How beautiful. A hummingbird attacks the redwood trees. Clouds! Look how dark it is. It will rain. It is so dark. Something must happen. Earthquake, volcanic manifestations. Easter lilies, unborn callas, a testimonial dinner. New fuchsias. I refuse to be taken in. Kindly stop the car. Are you really sick? Kindly stop the car. You're just kidding. Do you want me to vomit down the back of your neck? What's wrong? The heart has its reasons that reason knows not of. Daily bread. With him is my idea of love, she says, being with him. He can't shed in private. She must be there, admiring, demanding that he attend her chatter. Teach her all the things she doesn't want to know as long as he will talk to her, let her look at him, not give or take to it. No give or take to it. A witless basking. It consumes him. He looks on at himself disappearing as if sliding into a meat grinder. Horror, despair, and unbelief. And then there's a recantation that follows immediately afterwards. Oh, deodar tree, I haven't learned how to live. Both of us far from the mountains. I have not adjusted, not adapted. No one must blame you. This has a long letter at the end, but it's pretty strange. Life and death and a letter to my mother beyond both. Pink elephants and attack. Cancel this line. Oh, muse, get me high out of my mind. Open my head. I want blue, yellow, green, red music and blast. Yes, morto vache. An attack of middle age and sobriety, break out of this, recover soon as right now. Plush. Outbreak of stupid, a conspiracy. Silence. I ought to be quiet while I'm having myself totally chopped. It moves from right to left, On Saturday only, a condition I refuse to accept, a performance I cannot condone, some sort of complicated operating but very dilapidated lash-up. Outside, plush. Plush. Inside, plush. Why don't you watch where you're going instead of tripping over your own clumsy feet? Plush. Inside, there. Ain't any feet in here. How can I instruct them if I can't communicate with them, if I am so far away that they do not, for all practical purposes, enjoy an independent existence? A challenge of bright light, obstinate silence. I no longer answer the telephone. Big Dipper straight outside the front door. Bilge. The wind bothers among the avocado leaves, pester the glass, writing, scratching twig. Window. Also rattles for the airplanes. Blah, blur. I wish I could remember the song which begins, if I had a talking picture of you. I shall revise it completely. I shall render everything into language of a blinding clarity. It will be so charming and persuasive to every reader that the entire civilized world will say, surely Jonathan Swift has come again. Passion, it must create whatever new and exciting permanently, forever young, completely mine, but it will seem entirely and exclusively yours. It must possess a molecular structure similar to heroin. I want the stuff to be absolutely addicting after the customer has had a single sniff. Fakery. Bluey. This means that there was a break somewhere on the inside, such as one of the coolant tubes in a reactor power plant, the filament in a vacuum tube or electric lamp, or somebody's, for example, gallbladders, kidneys, spleen, and so forth. I was just about mortified to death. Actually, a spleen in the moment of its final despair and goodbye says something more on the order of blurgle. Bless your heart, honey. One of these days I'm going to sort through all that stuff and throw 9/10 of it all away. I don't know what I keep it for. No good to anybody, a lot of junk and old keepsakes that don't mean anything to anybody anymore, but a person does kind of hate to throw things like this away. And then there's a quote, bid self-righteousness be still, wound the callous breast. Came to grief about it, just over an old dining room table. There's trouble enough in this world without fighting among ourselves. We must try to live harmoniously. And two more quotes from the same hymn. When the day grows dark and cold, tear or triumph harm. And then in large print, lead thy lambkins to the fold, take them in thine arms. Which is the ending of a hymn by Mary Baker Eddy. And then there's a break, and then the date, 14 May 1963, San Francisco. Dear Mama, 20 or 30 years too late, here I am writing this letter to you, graveyard or no graveyard, no matter whether we abandoned each other, that part's all over with. I know that you are well because a part of your attention is occupied with writing this. No need to wonder now how or where or whether you are. I try to be patient and forgiving and understanding, but I'm a flop at it. You told me that there are worthwhile people everywhere in every walk of life, people I can respect, people I must love. I don't know how to explain to you exactly, but I'm afraid it's a matter of my being too selfish and small-minded and preoccupied with my own tiny life. I can scarcely see them, and of course I really don't, most of the time, want to see them. I have got myself that far into the morass. It's I who need out of the Salem graveyard, not you, who were never there. I don't think it matters what we name it. You make it on ideas of God, peace, quiet, organ music, and Mrs. Eddy's representation of the character and philosophy of Jesus. It saved you dozens of times hand-running whether you needed it or not. I don't mean any disrespect, but it seems unnecessarily complicated to me. That system, those names, it worked for you, or you worked it, like Yeats and his bent gyres, cones, pulleys, belts, and geary numbers. And arrived where he did, beyond this fake life and spooky death. I get the general idea. I have a different set of names. I know it isn't really a problem, that I'm not really beset with either sin or salvation, goldfish or onion rolls. But for the past couple of weeks, the whole business has been coming up cardboard, fake Easter nests of shredded green wax paper. There was this man at the zoo yesterday combing through the camel wool with both hands. Two ladies kept hold of a rope around his neck and tickled it under the chin, while the man hooked the fingers of both hands into, I presume, the shedding wool on the camel's side below the humps and pulled great sheets of wool away like peeling a sunburn, I expected. Judging from how hard the man tore and yanked at the wool, that the camel would scream or at least spit on everybody in sight. Instead, it stood there, looking only mildly annoyed, while a man took its fur and shoved it in a gunny sack. The man wore a neat gray felt hat, an expensive-looking suit and shoes, a white shirt, necktie, and, if I remember right, a vest. The ladies were also very fashionably dressed. Confronted by prodigies of this kind, or as I recall on the day that you found me blowing bubbles of molten glass, you'd say, "God is love!" Also, if my sister fell down the stairs, or if you happened to see an automobile accident. I guess it doesn't matter so much what it all means. The thing is more like, how do I treat other people, or how do I use myself? This is all so abstract and dim. You were able to make it iron all our clothing, cook our meals, provide us with total security and love. I mean, I must be a moldy old ghost, but that isn't interesting, either. I know better. I hope this raving letter doesn't drag you. I forget how or where I began. I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to speak with you, sensible as you are, and how dear and properly remote. I'm not that confused in time and distance, and I believe, still forgiving after all, and still believing what you know and feel. I hope you can also laugh, because it's a delight to you, as well as gentle music, Boston voices, quiet lights, joy and freedom where you live. So I just now found out that the whole business really is this. I wanted to write to you. I didn't want to read somebody else's book or take a walk. I've waited most of the day for these words to have arrived at last. Now I can let it go. This paper, this pen, the bad light, the nasturtiums curling their stems in my table jar. The tea is cold. All my love, tea. Friday, already halfway shot in the ass, nearly noontime lunch. Can you remember the things you're supposed to remember? Your past lives, the thoughts of others, and the unthinkable? Do you remember, quite naturally, the unpainted wooden attic, the casement windows open on the green hillside becoming a luminous world wherein all magic adventures naturally happen, tall gold-crowned women in white and green, their jewels luminous even in sunlight, their long pale hair, their untroubled eyes? The thoughts of others at this point are too numerous and too beautiful to record. For example, Blake's quote, "And every natural effect has a spiritual cause," unquote. The unthinkable is not a blank, not a non-entity, not to be dismissed as imaginary, not death, not sleep. Small branches heavy with plums wag in the wind. As long as they wave, they don't break. Perhaps you'd prefer to make some other arrangements. You might find it more convenient if, although we've been informed that your situation in recent months has not been without difficulties, we sincerely regret that we must inform you. Go away. Go away now. That is, as soon as you possibly can, go away, preferably immediately. Please concentrate. Please devote all your attention, all your energy, your admittedly great talents and abilities to the problem at hand, namely your immediate removal from this place with all your goods, chattels, and personal property. Think at least about how you might be working in order to realize your own projects if you're incapable of going away or making any money. Work, 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 work. Flowers, very tall this summer, Canterbury bells, foxglove, gladiolus. Yesterday a huge peony blossoming beside Howard Presbyterian Church is here to serve you. Am I developing astigmatism? I didn't think of you, my dear, until just now. You haven't chosen to appear lately, and now I know why I've been turned off and cranky 3 days in a row. Tennis shoes. So quiet, Pussyfoot do not upset the nerves. They live in a bath of aspirin, coffee, and a proprietary drug that slows or shuts the gap from one frond of synapses to the possible next. Uniform response patterns, gentle sinusoidal wave patterns on his EEG as in sleep. So gently, the gym shoes with the proprietary name, arch-supported, ventilated, add years to your life. Tillman used to call them American plimsolls and walked all over the Hindu Kush, the Pamir Plateau, and much of the Himalaya. Silly enough, being English, but also marvelously cuckoo enough to serve as an example to the young. Videlis Staler from the cities, walk in the mountains, hobnob with hillmen, loiter with the lamas of the unworldly kind, remember Kim, eat apricots, drink chang and hot yak-buttered Mongol tea, politely demand and get the assistance, food, shoes, and medicine, from whatsoever government is furthest off. Why sit around waiting for the bill at the local movie to change? In town, we can afford no better. The police inquire, what are you, practicing to be a cat burglar, Pee-Pee Tom? We say we have heart trouble. The doctor prescribed them to sweat our feet, promote circulation among the pedal extremities. We hoped our quietness would help us escape notice. Next time, we'll also wear a hat and necktie. Button your fly, the policeman says, walking away, picking his nose. Invocation and Theophany. This is a very lovely classical poem, and it has a very lovely epigraph from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Do you know at the offering of which libation the waters become endowed with a human voice and rise and speak? That's translated by Dr. Muller. Well, anyway, the poem, Invocation and Theophany. Following them, downwind scraps of pages, the sandpipers, white and black, chasing the watermark wigglers where the sand's wet. Go after. Spray left cheek and lens of eyeglasses. My head will ache later. Clearly the mountain, Tamil Pious, Bolinas Ridge, walks up out of the water into the bright blue air, black and hard running as it is, full sunlight. Grit in my eyes and teeth. I don't return to the trees until I've washed in the ocean, invoked its help. I want its power in my writing hands, the absolute freedom of action, my own mystery and weight carrying independent living beings within is we this. Wet monster poet leads them across the wind, a continuous shove. I say, sing, the pen lighter than a blenny. Thetis, Tritons, Amphitrite, Poseidon, rulers of the third world, I sing, I say. I hear them whooping, their procession comes toward me, their white arms and blue-black hair, hooey, brandishing tridents, honking those giant conch shells. I don't see fishtails, white sleekness, grandeur of human bodies, immortal, solid whiteness, jade beings, naked, willful, dangerous, and uneasy truce with earth, her stony, bounding shores and mountains. They walk toward me out of the sea, ascending the air, which is now swift, polished, slick, a path of jewel existing only as long as white, brilliant foot descends upon it. Naked, they, gorgeous, terrifying, but sublimely calm, white faces, the superb limbs, bellies, genitals, knees, the motion of those ankles. Their names are the language men made, but they are immortal. They've outlived their old names. They call on, I won't presume to say, they ask me for names. They are powers of the sea, peculiar to it. They are that ocean, projection, mirage of mine. I can invert the canvas, the camera. I summon them. If they are near, they, if they were headed this way, might swerve their course. Never so little did they hear my call. O sea! A letter to Michael McClure. Here I come to sit in the sun beside three young redwood trees, a number of bugs, a distant cat, some kind of wild geranium leaves all through the grass. Each plant has flowers of a different shape, color, smell. The use is general. Bees make tastier honey from clover than from oak and pine. I mean, we like the taste. The bees didn't figure we'd find out. They made it for themselves, a secretion of bug saliva. Delicious, costly, rare, they were planning to eat it all the winter long. But the flowers, quite often, they used to make me sneeze and cry. There was no living with them. Strongly sweet, great clusters of peas blossom shapes, a bug name, locust. I got no intention fighting City Hall, only the idea of it, and you're depending on its rectitude, its strength. It is your father, your mother, to lean upon, a church that confirms your belief in it, to ratify your own existence? In addition to the weight of my own displeasure, I censure myself by the hour. Here you are belittling, putting me down. There's no forgiving or forgetting, no absolution, no resurrection. You'll have me eternally wicked as you're eternally good, totally righteous, predestined to salvation. Do I have time to hate you, to fight you, and there's no prize, no crowns and harps, no eternal glory, gold, final, perfect tyranny? If I believe all this, I'm truly gone. How much will I pay for life eternal? Will you get the money? If it costs too much, I may steal it. If it costs too much, it may be fake and I can ignore it. If it costs too much, I may have to build my own elsewhere, although you'd immediately announce that it didn't really exist. Where's the point? I've lost myself again. Suppose you despise me. Have your loathing and welcome. Have it and see what it is. Have it until it is knowledge, heaven, enlightenment. But don't have it under any lesser terms, in which case it would become an impediment to drag you down forever. You're trying to tell me I'm dead, why don't I lay down? It's all very well, but not necessarily true. And what if all those psychological authorities are right? In a world like this, I heard a man put it plain and nasty. I'm practicing bending over further and further every day so that when I see that flash, I'll be able to lean over and kiss my ass goodbye. Let it go, and if it won't holler or hold on and squeeze while it writhes and heaves, make a new profession, they told him. Have you thought of becoming a symphony conductor? Like Leopold Stokowski, Mary Greta Garbo? Never write again. Never again. Go away to live in Ohio. Join the Rosicrucians. As for me, I'm constitutionally unable to enjoy the taste of bourbon whiskey. Or there actually is a conspiracy, a war against us. Why shut up, even when that's exactly what the adversary wants? We'll even pay you money to dump your paints, typewriter, and so forth down the toilet. Give up. Never again. The number and intelligence of those who want to stop us, who wish that we'd keep silence, holy silence. Their fear, their existence in a state of continuous rage, who don't listen to any of this, who don't know what it means, who can't control it, who know that it will outlive them, certainly, finally. Alternatively, I suppose that you figure sell guns to both sides and hope they wipe each other out. No doubt this is the reason so many work in secret. One stores his canvases in a bank vault. Nobody sees them. Few people know that he's a painter. Another stays away 10 years at a time, underground, he says. So impossible, the odds against it, too high. And yet, we must feel free to do with it whatever we can, for laughs or for serious. As the blue-painted wickerwork chair stands in the muddy driveway, what will and what won't go? Wednesday morning, all night booze, horrors, guilty police raid, nightmare flips. Bright sun woman walks in. What's happening in here? Laughing. White legs, pink tits, gold hair. We had a date, but I didn't expect her. Now, happy day. Nor dare I congratulate myself, although she winds yellow flowers in my hair, dandelions, the immortal crown of love and poetry. Lucent gold honey is all my breakfast, a sticky song. To the memory of Sappho, who loved young girls, violets, poetry, and the service of Aphrodite, as I love irises, the goddess, and my own perversity. One is Plums, Metaphysics and Investigation, a Visit and a Short Funeral Ode. O Muse, I don't dare summon you. All I ask is that I might come to you only to see you, only to look at your face. If you're too mad or too busy for a talk, I'll go home soon. Smog this morning, hot soupy sun. The mailman brought all the wrong letters. The air stinks. The birds are in somebody else's yard. Boys left a yellow broom in the plum tree. The plums are still green, however fat. I hear the Scavengers Protective Association complaining about the garbage cans. I worry about the fragility of my verses, their failure to sound fresh and new. My God, here's the garbage man stealing green plums. Neighborhood boys must go after them. Free food. How can a tree, who is an individual, belong to a man? It can't be stealing. The tree has manufactured these not quite yet sweet, sticky plums. My mouth is full of plastic teeth. Most adults are smokers. We have no idea about the taste of plums, except perhaps a memory, climbing a tree. St. Augustine had the shame of it all his life, he says. I think of him, seeing these kids up the tree, their silly yellow broom too short, and the tree's old and brittle, unsafe to climb. The pears, in his case, being hard as well as green, to say nothing of all the sin which he never worked out. A soulful bellyache, his whole episcopal saintly eternity, no death, no dying for him, alas. The pears of Africa pursue him past the heavenly gates. I can still hear something rattling in my head. Perhaps only the little rocks that keep it pointed toward the sky, otoliths, ear stones. Which is now the wind, although I see fog and smoke linger over the bay, three loader cranes on a ship, gantries in the fog, flash car, freeway ramp, more stinking smoke. Which was my ears rattling an approaching poet, Ronald Lawrenson, with news from out of town, considering the study of English, a long trip to the Northwest with his wife and son for August. I envy them. I've been thinking of going home. I still think of it, although it has nothing to do with me. Wants nothing from me. To Oregon all this spring. Hard as it is, I'm hungry, in debt, I own one penny, copper money, USA, I'm still alive, I dance alone in this borrowed room, I sing to myself, green plums, you won't be ready for weeks, but I'm fat and purple, full of sweet delight, hidden among bright gold leaves. It is her wish that I be so. A wasp is bouncing up and down one of the closed windows, two other windows are open, he must take care of himself, I say, but I worry for him just the same. Goofy June bug, forgotten poet, morning stomp. And the plums, the voices, the presence of Lawrenson, all these brought you in, Williams, quite naturally, making my head rattle, your gentle spirit. Goofier than you've shown yourself to us in the past, really goofier than I ever gave you credit for being. I mean, the insane poetical rage that you tried to channel, to subdue. Notions I hate, rather the fury and the madness than the bland, quote, control of Messieurs X, Y, and Z, who must, of course, believe they're also, quote, in control of literature, American literature. They never really let you into that, in spite of your book that all professors love and the American brain that fills my shoes with sorrow and gets in between my teeth. I want to be a world, not just another American tinky poety boo. I'm a universe and so forth. Well, anyway. I never knew you well enough to call you Bill, and you were either my father or not, and I did say a couple of days ago that I sometimes think of you as a little no-talent middle-class croaker. You did know the madness of love and sorrow. Why should I have wished on you? Oh, the crash of cymbals, rending of life, flesh, glare of torches, total battiness and frenzy. Typewriter out the window into Cowley's plum tree. How explain about the broke window and chair to the cranky landlady? Hark, crane, go away. You are too much, and we don't really believe you write so good as all that. Your head fell apart gently, piecemeal, a slowly oozy ripening cheese, wreath of song, Liederkranz, an American invention. It was painful to watch, even 8 years ago when I last saw you, not quite articulate and your hands terribly crimped, yet delivering yourself, your love, to us. I got the window open just this minute and prodded the wasp out into the wind. And you said, yes, you remembered me. Now, I remember you, naturally, dead or alive, as the notices used to say. And you are wanted, not necessarily New Jersey, USA, here with us, wherever plums and poets talk together. Saturday morning. Bread of origination, fell desire has fled across the border of the bright leaves toward the night wherein to build a tyrant winter in the heavenly trees. Good morning to you. In our places with sunshiny faces, good morning, dear teacher, good morning to you. A winter, a deadly winter. I'm afraid of it, although I have steam heat, fur-lined clothes, and no reason for leaving the house between Thanksgiving and the 21st of March. Would that it were bread of patience and persuasion. When shall I begin to reign? The treasures of rage, patience, and exactitude. Even now it's plugged. Clarence Connoisseur, fine toast, says, don't bother me with all that goddamn nonsense before I've had breakfast. Why are you wearing that cap in the house? A, it makes me feel I'm back in the army. Presently I shall lose all my marbles in all directions. I'll lie hidden in the corner. B, you should go, he says, to the baseball game, having written up the Dodgers across the front of, or a large Pittsburgh Pirates. You'd be found, a bloody mess down among the empty beer cans underneath the bleachers. C. Yes, most certainly. Yes, prodigiously. Swiftly the butterfly dreamed the death of Winged Tiger General. This is about a little deal that a friend of mine gave me. It's a copy of a Peruvian gold figurine made in pre-Columbian times. A gold woman with a condor's beak. Her hands are bird heads. Weights these pages down. Peru or Bolivia or someplace in South America. A goddess. I don't know her name. I hope not a picture of bad luck. You'll notice how easily I withhold what you need, what you require of me. I can't imagine what it is, and it doesn't do me any good. A terrible mistake. Dots and squiggles justify the air and space I occupy. Warnings, responses, etc. You better get next to yourself, my father used to say. Hanging around the house, loose and unnecessary. Hello there, loose and unnecessary. Coming up the walk from his car, me slung in a lawn chair reading. Meaning, alert yourself. Be aware what's happening and what do you think of it. How do you feel about it? What shall you, when push comes to shove, do about it? And if you were any good at all, you'd feel that weight or pressure continuously and comport yourself accordingly. The strenuous life, Mr. Roosevelt said, meaning something quite other. Which isn't a sandbag or circumstance, it's inside after all. One's own metabolic transmutations make the world go round. Next to myself. The world and all the people in it asserting doggedly that I don't exist, and certainly if I close my eyes, I go away. Next to myself, an emblem, a mountain creek under logs, over boulders, potholes in its bed, patches of gravel. The water invariably falls into eddies at particular points, breaks into spray, or spreads in heavy darkness. As long as the water soars high up the canyon, no end in sight beyond vine maple overhang downstream flows. And responds to J about art and so forth, that you must break yourself to create anything. This I, this self, holes have to be punched, cracks made in it to release the power, beauty, whatever. The act breaks us, a radical force like sex, not lightly to be used. Fireballs, plasma, the physicists call it now. Mesmer and Franklin thought in terms of, quote, an electric fluid, unquote. Break yourself, but I suppose I suppress a section of it here. A piece of it, I fear, is likely to fall on my own head. Can I walk around it? And walking, fall into a tar pit. A further emblem. A line appears to separate the sea and sky at the horizon. You put it there, your eye, the air is hollow, and the earth falls away before your feet. Another of the balance. That the beam of the scales, a horizon line between a mechanical governor, two whirling balls, the mind, its nature, must be described as built of contraries or opposites. And. There we go again, a struggle for power, whatever it is, lying around loose, Comrade T remarked, in the streets. Don't I know it? I'm going to tell you. An irregular ode. Once I began to write, be ruled by beauty and her willfulness, and got no further. Choking and wheezing, subject completely to the selfishness of my own history. I don't wonder that you doubt my love. My attention wanders even now, squinting at the moon through bamboo blind. I should be with you. We're only blocks apart. The same imaginary beauty splits us up. I keep chasing the one who invents the mountains and the stars. I'm a fool, supposing she's someone else than you, our moss and ferns and forest light. Song for two balalaikas on the corner of 3rd and Market. We have no peanuts to eat, so sad, while looking up tall buildings capitalistic. We cannot return to Izba on the steps of Russia Hill unless instant money appear in tambourine, unfortunately. The snow is falling in our galoshes, wolves in our underwear, alas, poor czar. Our oat field crushed under tractors, varnish falls off our balalaikas, all the strings are warped, we sing out of tune. Give us money and bread. Sad, sad. I wrote a whole parcel of short poems that's called The Art of Literature for my friend Louis Welch, and I gave him one copy, and the other copy I gave to somebody who wanted to print it and never did. And that leaves me with the scattered holograph manuscript that I don't know whether I can read or not. The Art of Literature, in any case, as much of it as I can read. I went to the door, and who do I see? Deputy Sheriff with a paper for me. It's the angel of death, wiggles of life, tremors of elegance. Come down from that hayloft. Come you down for me. I'm here in the oat bin, rubbing the glue. Death angel fungus turned on flat. On the 6th day of January, New Style, 1963 CE, presents us with that same problem, and after the daily problem and its temporary but unique solution, yet another remains to me. the correction of the entire known universe through the presentation of our several visions of beauty and perfection not yet arrived or realized in our lives as men and women. Perhaps what I intended to say was not correction, but enlargement and interpretation and embellishment of the entire known universe. If I knew what I wanted to say, would I say it? Certainly I'd repeat it. They claim that I ought to be interested in them. I'm interested in many individuals, but my interest is considered by many to be of a pathological kind. I pretend not to be interested. I try to let anyone see that I'm interested. Consequently, many actually don't engage my sympathetic attention. They complain if I pay attention. They complain of my inattention. I claim that I ought not to accept, as I do, their demands, the limitations which they would impose upon my senses, my desires, my acts. What do they do together? That's what I never could figure out. What can they do? Do they actually? I don't believe it. It's too foolish, too ugly. Anesthetic. I don't like to think about it, but when people talk about them, as everyone does all the time, I wonder how they do it. Let's talk about something else. Show me how you do it. Let me see how you do it. Is that how you do it? Fold your hands. What I must carry, the entire past, mother and father and sister and grandmother, wherever I go, a generation of men and women yet unborn, the book I'm reading, the book I'm writing, a list of addresses and telephone numbers, hair comb, keys to return for the night for my toothbrush and razor, pens, and in case they fail, pencils, and for amusement, a lead holder with 7B graphite, nearly black as ink. And quite often I have a map of the place I intend to visit. Some sort of government paper that says I am he. More government paper and metal I trade for bus rides, animal hairs and hides, fibers of plant or synthetic origin, two lenses fixed in plastic frame to light my weak eyes, all dark and wet inside, hot and slippery, rivers and lakes and bays and gulfs and voids and sand. Sunglasses, forgotten, lie on my desk. Let's see. This boy at Princeton studied Russian and was a musician. Knew all these old Russian princesses through his Russian teacher. He never went back to the Middle West in the summer, but rented a lovely back garden cottage in Princeton. Einstein lived next door. The boy knew what kind of music Einstein liked. He'd play it on his piano, and soon he would hear Einstein beginning to play on his violin, standing at an open window. They played their duets that way. I don't know if they ever visited each other's houses or not. I discover a page of this is missing, and I wonder who's been reading all these pages, and I want it back. This is as bad as Notebook, missing in Boston, 1960. How can I, at this late date, be such a total dumbbell? It must be lying under something. And several days later, which it was, half folded between the cot on the balcony and the wall, nobody read none of it. Belligerence, mixed bathing, and that was the end of the Roman Empire, which ought to have lasted at least 3 weeks longer. Oh yes, 19 people, cars, a great big highway patrolman on purpose in cars. Fung Loi restaurant, Sunday. Bus wagon, 7 o'clock trip to kitchen on time. Ink by the pocketful, ink in jars, tubes, blocks, and dishes, never or seldom where it belonged. More ink misplaced, cuttlefish in sepia sauce, chop suey, eggs foo young, pork noodles, fortunate cookies, fly shrimp, bosatsu pudding. When the smoke of the cooking flies away, all that's left we consume what may, a very Chinese interest. Plastic, do I bore you? Coriander leaves? A pot, apart from which as precious unguents, herbal wines and essential oils, sweat and ooze, collect a powder of gone spiders. portentously Sunday food smoke, as if we were gods, and so forth. Cherubic presences. The gallery, Mill Valley. Do we have sandwiches? Is there a menu? Everything is going to start. We have going to change it all. A larger solo part or duet now, possibly trio, quartet, whatever number, as the composition begins to culminate, if I'm correct in my analysis of its present condition. I seem to see more possibilities, more suggestive shapes, vague, pregnant forms in the not too remote distance, most of them, more of them, I say, yet less distinct, less easily reached and examined, and each one seeming to resemble the already known, the already used, the familiar, the vulgar and common chair, shoe, mailbox, trombone, sugar bowl, fly swatter. Why should they not be so? Why should I, you may ask, expect to discover something new, something unique? I can't answer your question. I shall entertain it for a season, consider it, ask it of myself several times over. Perhaps it will lead me to some discovery. You are trying to say, you tell me, that you're an optimist? There we are. He invited us over for a Gump dinner. What? Gump. I don't understand. Chicken, Mr. R. explained 5 or 6 years ago. Present, assailable at any moment, we pretend, from Russia, yet eternal and absolute, raised above and beyond any chance or possible changing, subject to the weather. To my imagination, it shall not stand. Cet homme C, bread B, booze B, 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 Bernard Berenson, B, 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 bread beer. Situm la. Onions, New York, and abandonment, anguished literature, an okay hero who deserves it when it pops into his head, if it pops. Who cares about punctuation after one is 35? The rules of grammar, who can forget them? Present a piece composed of ambiguous existentialism. Prepare a paper which is concerned entirely with the ambiguities of existentialism. Nobody can understand. To a poet. She sings, the music pulls you down. She's totally irresponsible. So are your ears. They're supposed to hear. But why do you care so much for music? A vision of the bodhisattvas. They pass before me one by one, riding on animals. What are you waiting for? They want to know. Z, young as he is and mad into the bargain, tells me, someday you'll drop everything and become a rishi, you know. I know. The forest is there. I've lived in it more certainly than this town. Irrelevant. What am I waiting for? A change in custom that will take 1,000 years to come about? Who's to make the change but me? Returning again and again, Amida says. Why is that dream so necessary? Walking out of whatever house alone, nothing but the clothes on my back, money or no, down the road to the next place, the highway leading to the mountain, from which I absolutely must come back. What business have I to do that? I know the world, and I love it too much, and it is not the one I'd find outside this door. to the Muse. Dear Cleo, I can't complain about your absence, nor excuse my failure to call you sooner. I mistook you for your sister, and now I thank you both, you one lady who changes before my eyes. Queen Lioness of heaven and the sun, tangle of a dream, a history, waiting while I sleep, I grind my teeth. Or waking, I watch your closed eyes, film of gold hair lying on your cheek, a mystery. A tangle, my impatience, your wildness, this persistence of vision centered in my own chest, the print of your ear on my skin, your presence. I'm high, my brain's foam, I can't hear what you say, quietly, happily, out of my mind. Madrones blossom on our mountain, deer in the thicket watch me pass, fawns and does, tawny gray, bless me as I walk along the fire road, who are the brilliance of that day, the glory of this night. Okay, that's the end of all that. Any questions? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's in the poem. That's a long thing. I don't know whether it does anything or not. Everything does something, I suppose. Or not. You all just going to sit there? Or do you want to get up and walk around? Or Oh, here's the self-indulgence poem. This is going to be printed in Italy at great expense with photographs and whatnot. This one has a date at the top, without apologies. Monday in the evening, there was an animal. It left a set of tracks. The animal was I, and the tracks also, and the mud wherein they appear to your eye, which is who, not you, I. Suppose I do, and I do, what then? Well then, or now, I protest, I complain that I am lost, aching, coming all to pieces. I claim that I am, nevertheless, quite in control. I behave in a particular way. I sit holding my left hand across my mouth, my right hand, and two eyes do this writing. On the hillside, twin peaks, broken glass, tin cans, a box the milkman used to carry bottles, weeds and ground squirrels, clouds, pencils in a jar on this table. Trick track, that's backgammon. Hey ho, Anthony Rowley and spinach. Spoor, my scent on the wind, the ink I customarily use, dead letters under the table. Between pencil jar and ink bottle, wooden mouse from Denmark, gift from Persky's, tin windmill, gift from Joanne, manuscript, prose, unfinished. I care desperately about that, and it can't be finished. Never, never, never. How can I go through Thoreau's life again, the unfinished, unpublished, self-righteous walker, disconnected from all women and men? Damn, damn, dull, damn, blather, I proceed. Tiepolo Baroque, oh, sunset, Tiepolo Baroque Church, peach ice cream, sunset, color of nipples of labia minora. I crossed out Tiepolo at first. Why bring in some artist, some painter? Where are my own words and visions? Why isn't it discreet pink clouds instead of art history, female anatomy? Because I can, this being my paper and ink, my table and chair, my floor, my electric light, write it the way I want it, here, any way I choose. But why must I insist? Why pick an argument with you, who have begged for the chance to listen, or prayed night and day for 2 months for the privilege of watching this pen write words? This is the evening star. This is the end of my life. Requiescat, sweetie. What's he lying about now, for Christ's sake? How I love me. How much I'd give for a divorce or simply get very drunk. Puke, spew, defecate, weep, clean up the mess, take a bath, put on clean clothing, and start in again upon a clean sheet of paper. Then there's a picture of a tombstone that says, here lies Peter Boo, not quite 40 years old, who imagined he could not cope, supposing that it was something different from blinking his eyes, breathing, keeping his fly buttoned, his big mouth shut, and his imagination employed with high-grade poetry. But now, at last, I'll tell you everything, all that you've always wanted to know, those things I've successfully avoided saying, the innermost secrets, the real word. Absurd. You guessed all these dingy tidbits years ago. That is presuming that you have lived 17 or 18 years in the USA, are neither deaf nor blind nor simple-minded. I digress, a manner of speaking. Here's new tracks, new signs of my presence gone by. I seemed headed toward the drugstore for tobacco, into the kitchen for coffee. That wish to move away from this paper, this table. Qui vive! Ho! Spirit of the cattail marshes, genius, polywogland, discoverer of those frogs and fish eggs under the lily pads, Aunt Clara's backyard fish pond, stand and deliver. Having burnt several ounces of myrrh, frankincense, branches of the sloe, a few hops and seagull feathers, we perceived the faintest outlines of an apparition, light and wavering at first. It seemed to draw substance from the heavy, fetid smoke, so that soon there appeared to be an almost palpable column of dimly glowing light in the corner of the room nearest the bookcase. Obstinate creature, speak. And then there's a rubric out on the side. What he said after we had gone to all that trouble to bring him back from the vast beyond, a task which we began so happily, facing its difficulties with good cheer and hope because of our deep admiration for him, called Elysium, the happy land, etc. I can scarcely begin to describe our subsequent feelings of disappointment, of chagrin, which bordered upon total disillusionment, cynicism, and despair after we had heard his voice at last. I want popcorn. I want a naked friend to play with all over. I want a great many cigarettes. I want to read the Greek, Latin, Sanskrit, and Chinese classical writings. I want ice cream. I want the rest of my library. I want a piano, an organ, a harp, a set of bagpipes. I want a number of books and musical scores added to my present collection. I want to spend a year in Europe and several years traveling in the Orient. I want a large typewriter. I want new teeth, new eyes. I want final perfect enlightenment, that is nirvana. I don't want to smoke anymore. I really shouldn't masturbate so often. I shouldn't eat so much. I want to be left alone. Children beller at each other in the street, chasing each other in circles in front of the drugstore, threatening and sparring, grabbing cocks and asses. Do I wish I were young again? Today, at least, I don't feel old. That wish question is irrelevant. How are my orchids growing? Big leaves and no flowers. They, not I, are contrary. Am I better than you? Is that the idea? Irrelevant. Why do you hate me? That's really the question, and I mean, please love me. Pay attention to me. I want to be left alone. The spirit, having answered all our questions in a most satisfactory manner, was bidden to depart, but it was some time before it concluded its apparently endless catalogue of desiderata. For a number of days afterwards, the corner of the room in which the specter had manifested itself smelled strongly of stock flowers, cardamom, cinnamon, seawater, or semen, depending upon the sex, age, and stage of spiritual advancement to which the observer had attained. All so phony, my dear, you know. What he really wants to do is sit for a certain number of hours every day writing, every month to be sending manuscripts to publishers who pay him fabulous sums of money. He wants to live in Pacific Palisades with a couple of swimming pools and live entertainment like Tiberius's villa on Capri. Once every 5 years or so, he wants his picture on the cover of Life and a big jolly article inside about himself, of course, in his new book, and he wants a Nobel Prize for his 50th Christmas present. Down! Exorcizo te in nomine, etc. Avant! Avoid! Because the voice comes back over here. I want a big dish Chinese black mushrooms. I want a lot of hashish. I want to write 9 bestseller novels all in a row. I want everyone to let me alone, except for that naked friend of whom I've already spoken. I want a little peace and quiet. Tikel. Hebrew word tikel, like in many, many tikel, etc. I don't care. I'm not afraid of you. If you try getting funny with me, I'll knock you for a row of pink potted geraniums. I have studied judo and karate, so don't go trying to give me a no bad time. Oh, dream, oh, vision of continuous embrace. Scrambola! And again, I want cotton candy. I want to visit the church of St. Apollinaire in Classe. I want rare roast beef in London, greasy baked lamb and olives in Beirut. I want a vision of the new heavens and the new earth. I want a bottle of root beer. The time, contrary not only to your belief, but to mine as well, has not been wasted or misappropriated or in any way abused. It is, It must, I see, remain out of our reach, or certainly we would abuse and daub it in some unseemly fashion. But its existence, were it ours, is ideal and perfect, while my creation stands elsewhere, namely, in this sublunary sphere where all things must decay and pass away, but that's not time neither. I have redeemed nothing but beauty, pleasure, and wisdom. I have failed to save you or myself out of the ruck and chaos of this jeweled, gorgeous world, this universe of love, bright joys, and all contentment. Although these abstractions can scarcely be lost, and their ownership is doubtful from the very first reckoning of who and what was and is. I must remember to scream and holler more often, that is, go ahead and write violently, absurdly, idiotically. If it means an end to fog, clutter, ill-painted scenery, machines with squeaky pulleys, also if I misinterpret the echo from this noise as being sounds of comfort and encouragement, which will in their turn provide me with enough confidence to continue the inspection and interpretation of my own visions, I shall be content. Because I imagine that I'm so far, too far in, I sometimes stop when I'm out walking to grasp the branch of a tree, a handful of foliage, put both hands on the tree trunk, closely inspect the bark, and are there mosses, lichens, fungi, or insects on it? Note its color, thickness, texture. In the park, I stop to press one hand flat on the ground among the gravel, fallen leaves, dead grasses, or simply lie down on one of the great lawns. I pay no attention then to the sky, sun, clouds, birds, and attend to feeling the springy grass and solid earth beneath me. I click my tongue at a squirrel. It approaches me on a zigzag course, running then stopping to sit up with one forepaw held to its chest, uncertain what I'll do, feed it or hit it. I do neither, and presently it goes away. Several other squirrels must come to inspect me and to ascertain that I'm carrying no food to them. Inside, outside may or may not be significant distinctions. I know that I can bore or frighten myself rather easily by thinking I am inside. I must get out. And I have felt what the ancients called panic, that is, been outside and felt an irrational necessity for being indoors, for going home. But the last time I felt that, I took out my notebook to record the fact. Soon I was writing about the general scene, about particular objects that caught my attention, and the terror left me.